morning as well. Good morning, morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Yud Beis. Okay, let's get right into it. We're on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're at the two dots. Avdei Kohanim. Who'd be playing the instruments up on the duchen, on the platform? So while they were bringing karbanos, so there was music being both sung and played. And so who's doing it? So if you go back to the Mishnah, back on Yud Amud Aleph, so the Mishnah gave us one, two, three opinions on the matter. How come we're here? Meaning we're in Erchin. How come we're talking about musical instruments? So, you know, sometimes the daf does that. Sometimes the daf just jumps around a little bit. But the Mishnah was telling us minimums and maximums. What's the range of minimum? What's the range of maximum? So the Mishnah got into a discussion of what's the minimum number of harps that are used? What's the minimum number of flutes that are used? And so, therefore, led us into the discussion of, who's playing them? Who's playing the instruments? In the Mishnah, there were, opinion number one, Avdei Kohanim Hayu, Divrei Reb Meir. So the first opinion was that they were servants of Kohanim. Meaning, not Kohanim, not...
Can you go into the Beis
HaMikdash? Yeah, sure. I mean, Tumah's the only issue. The only prevented it from going to the Beis HaMikdash is Tumah. So Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishpachas Beis Pegarim Beis Sipra Me Amamam Hayu Mesim LeKohuna. So there's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi who says that it's not slaves, it's not Kohanim, it's distinguished families. And finally, Rabbi Chanina Ben Atikos Omer Levim Hayu, they were Levim. Okay, of those three, if I were to poll, you know, in other words, it's not normally the best way to do things, but if I were to poll, I would have number three probably would have been the most popular answer, because isn't that normally what you associate the Levim with, is the singing? So we're not talking about the singing now, we're talking about playing the musical instruments, but it's music. It's part of the, you know, the music ensemble. So I think the popular opinion would have been Levim, and meanwhile, that's only one of three opinions. So let's start with the Gemara, and the Gemara starts off, Avdei Kohanim Hayu, Lema Bahakim Ifligu, Demar Savar, I'm sorry, Demand Amar Avadim Hayu Kasav Iker Shir Vipar, Vikli Lebesume Kalahu Davida. So the one who says that they were slaves, so how do you explain that position? It's very simple. Because there is a requirement of shir. Meaning, let's start the discussion right here. There is a requirement to sing when you bring a karban. Right? That is what's called shira. We spent a lot of time talking about shira. We'll spend a lot of time today talking about it. There is this requirement. Now that there's this requirement, what is this requirement? Meaning, what is shir? So the Gemara is going to break it down to basically two essential positions. Number one, it's the vocals. It's the singing. Number two, it's the instruments. It's the music playing. So the Gemara now is going to suggest that this is the machlokus between our Mishnah. Now that there are only two fundamental positions, it's going to be hard because our Mishnah has three opinions. Okay? So stay tuned, as that's going to be an issue. So the one who says that it was the Avadim. Combination. Okay. Ikashir Bepeh, Klila Besume Kalahu Davide. So in other words, so the one who says that it's Ikashir's Bepeh, meaning it's the vocals. We'll have the Levim singing, of course. Who's playing the instruments? So the Avadim will play the instruments. Meaning they don't have to be anybody. They don't even have to be, you know, for lack of a better term, Jewish. Meaning they're just the musicians playing the instruments, but the Ikashir's Bepeh, it's the Levim singing. Raman Dam Levim, how you could have Ikashir Bekli. And the one who says that's the Levim, so, okay, so in other words, there is a shir requirement, and the shir requirement is, in fact, needs to be done by the Levim, and the Iker Shir is Bekli, and they're the ones playing the instruments. Okay, that is the Gemara's attempt to explain our Mishnah. It's an attempt, but as the Gemara is about to point out, it only covers two out of three opinions in our Mishnah. V'tizbar, Rabbi Yossi, my kasav, ikasav, ikashir, bepeh, avadim, sagya. Ikasav, ikashir, bekli, levim, be'inan. So the Gemara says it's the Rav Yossi position. Who were the people playing the instruments according to Rav Yossi? Distinguished families. Well, that's nowhere. Meaning that's a position that doesn't seem to follow any particular avenue. Meaning if ikashir is bekli, so then you could have even avadim play instruments. If ikashir is bepeh, so you need levim. What is this position of distinguished families are the ones playing the instruments? La'olam kasav ikir shir bepeh. So the Gemara says, okay, scratch it. Let's try a new approach. Let's first start off with the assumption ikir shir bepeh means I need Levim to sing and do the vocals. So the main mitzvah of shir, of shira that's done with every karban, not every karban, we'll be more specific in just a moment, is the vocal, says the Gemara. So now, what's our mission and what's the machlokas? V'hacha b'mala meduchen liyuchsen l'masus k'mifligi. The machlokas basically goes like this. You see somebody up on the duchen, on the platform, and he's playing an instrument, or right? So now, at that point in time, what do you assume? Right? Okay, good. In other words, what do you assume? Meaning, it's not that different than when you see someone getting called up for the first aliyah to the Torah. Right? In other words, the normal assumption is, oh, he's a Kohen. Now, what if it's not a Kohen, so we say, the Gabba, make sure to say, Bimkom Kohen. Nobody get confused, he's not a Kohen. But in other words, there's certain assumptions that we make when we see certain things happening. So the Gemara now is saying, that's the machlokas. Seeing people on the platform, playing the instruments. So the first position of the Mishnah, Rav Meir, I believe, says that nothing, meaning we make no assumptions. Not Leviim, not Miyuchasim, nothing. The one who says they have to be Leviim, the third opinion of our Mishnah, they says that once you see someone on the platform, you assume, number one, he's a Levi, and he should therefore is entitled to Meiser. Number two, you assume he's Miyuchas. And finally, the last position is that you are that you could use a platform as an assumption that the person is miyuchas. So in other words, good family, quality family, good lineage of the family, but that's it. But not for Masros. And so therefore you had members of these distinguished families who would get up there and they would play the instruments because that's all the assumption would be. Okay.
Let's ask this version of the other families. I mean, you know, for lady or
All right.
So you know, okay. You're not can do about it.
Correct. It does create some sort of caste system in terms of, right. Okay, to a certain degree. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, and now a good part of today's daf dedicated to the topic of shir. Hashir ma'akev is a karban divrei Meir v'chachamim omrim ein ma'akev. What if you don't sing? Okay? In other words, there is a requirement that when you bring a karban, you're supposed to sing. Good. What if you don't? How important, how essential is the singing to the bringing of the karban? Now, Rav Meir's position, who we always find to be the more interesting position, because he always takes the more thought-provoking position, Rav Meir says it's super important. It's essential. In fact, says Rav Meir, if you don't sing, you didn't fulfill your mitzvah bringing the karban. That's pretty important, meaning it's essential. Now, Tosfos over here is bothered, meaning this whole discussion now is a strange discussion. When exactly do we sing? So, meaning at what point during the avodah do we sing? The shechting, the sprinkling of the blood, okay? No, meaning not then. So when exactly do we sing? Nesachim. The bringing of the Nesachim. Those are the libations, which is just, to me, the funniest word. I don't know what that word means, but in other words, that's when you bring the wine and the oil and the flour that accompany a karban. And as we'll learn a little bit later on this morning, we already learned this before, Nesachim don't even have to be brought the same day as the karban itself. Meaning Nesachim, who come along together with a karban, can be brought at a later point in time. So it's interesting, and Tosfos says, and I'm struggling with this, says Tosfos, how can the song singing be so important if you're not even singing during the Ikar Avodah, and when you're only singing during the Nesachim? Right? See, Tosfos inside, second Tosfos on the Amud, Kasha Daha Shir B'Shas Nisuch, V'Han Nisuch Ein Ma'akev Es HaKarbon, Da'ad Ha'mevi Zivcha Yom, U'Nesachim Mikan V'Ad Arba Yomim. I don't understand, says Tosfos. We're singing during Nesachim, and you don't even have to bring Nesachim on the same day. V'Nire L'Fari Shir Ma'akev Es HaKarbon, Hainu Nisuch Shim In Shira Ein Nisuch. Maybe, says Tosfos, what the Gemara means is that it's essential to the Nesachim. Where if you didn't sing while bringing the Nesachim, then you didn't fulfill your mitzvah bringing the Nesachim. Maybe that's what the Gemara means, but that's a stretch.
You don't have to bring it. It's Nesachim is a ma'akev.
Correct.
So how can the Shiloh and the Nesachim be ma'akev?
No, maybe. No, but Tosfos is it's a suggestion. Tosfos is suggesting that when the Gemara says ma'akev, it doesn't mean ma'akev the real karban. It means ma'akev the Nesachim. That's what it's being ma'akev.
Nesachim is wine, right?
Nesachim is the wine.
So that's wine is happiness. Happiness is song.
all interrelated, which is why you sing during the Nesachim. Right. Correct. Right, but if it's a carbon, right. Oh, okay. Okay, perhaps. Okay, so again, so that's, so the Gemara wants to know how important it is. So again, Rav Meir says it's essential. If you don't have it, you didn't fulfill. Tosfos doesn't fit into the language of the Gemara. Meaning the Gemara says, ma'akev is a carbon. Right, and Tosfos. Correct, correct. It doesn't. Correct. Oh, we'll get to it. V'chachamim omrim eino ma'akev. My time of Rav Meir dama kravet nes levim nesunim la'avron levanav mitoch b'nei Yisrael ulechaper b'nei Yisrael. So the purpose of the levim, I'm giving you the levim to Aaron and to his children so as to provide a kapara. Now, what are the levim doing that's providing a kapara? Well, first of all, ma kapara ma'keves, afshir ma'keves. In other words, look, if the levim are there for kapara, you know, when you bring a carbon, the whole point of bringing a carbon is to get a kapara, meaning sprinkling of the blood, like essential avodas. So, and I'm giving you the levim also for kapara. What are they doing that's so important? And the answer is shira. They're singing. And what Rav Meir says is, if kapara is essential, their singing must be essential as well. Okay? V'rabanan ha'hu li'idach d'Rav Elazar d'amar Rav Elazar makar b'yom afshir b'yom. And the Chachamim will say, look, I'm with you. There's a connection. But the connection is not that deep where if the Levim don't sing, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of bringing the karban. It just simply means that just like avodah is done during the daytime, the singing of the Levim is also done during the daytime as well. Okay. We got to sing every time we bring a karban. How do we know that? Yeah, how do we know that? Okay, good. I know. I'm with you. So how do we know that? So the Gemara now is going to bring not one, not two, but 10 sources that teaches us that that singing has to come over a carbon. We're going to go through this part of the Gemara rather quickly, not because it's not important, but you will see, though, it's basically a repeating of the idea that there are various sources in terms of how we know we're supposed to be singing over every carbon. Amar of Yehuda Mashmul, this is number one. Minayin leikar shir min haTorah shenemar v'shareis b'shem Hashem Elokav. Okay, you are serving b'shem Hashem Elokav, using the name of Hashem. What? Ezu sherish b'shem haveyam ezu shira. In other words, what service requires the name of God? Meaning, service requires karban, shechting, right? But when we incorporate using the name, singing ve'emen esiyas kapayim. So the Gemara says, what? What do you mean? I can give you another example where we're serving using the name of God, and that is birchas kohanim, right? Duchening. Where the Kohanim mentioned God's name. How many times? Three times. So midichsiv l'shar asol l'varach b'shmo. Mechal de birchas Kohanim love sheris. So the Gemara says, well, it maybe duchening is not sheris. That's not considered temple service. Right? Big question. Whether duchening is considered an avoda or not considered an avoda, the Gemara over here seems to be strongly of the position. It is considered an avoda. It's not considered a vodash, I'm sorry. Rav Masna Amar Me'achat Tachas Hashem Lo'avatas Hashem Lo'kecha B'simcha V'tuv Le'vav. When you serve God, you have to do it with joy. Now, shechting has to be with joy. I mean, you know, we'll say hashkafically, yes, but in other words, you don't say that joy is an essential part of shechting. So where's the joy? So Ezu Avodash B'simcha V'tuv Le'vav HaVeyom Ezu Shira. So it's the Gemara says, that's shira. In other words, that's singing. Singing comes out of joy. Maybe the joy is divrei Torah. Meaning, instead of singing, such a Lithuanian thing to say, but maybe while you're doing the avoda, say good dvar Torah. Meaning, say over a good vort while bringing the carbon. You know, at people's Shabbos table, you know, there's an assortment of different things that different people do. So some people enjoy singing, and that's really good. If you go to a real, true Lithuanian Shabbos table, you know, they're not going to sing. They're going to say over Divrei Torah, meaning that'll be their joy. So Pekudesh, and others will look at that and say, come on, that doesn't seem that exciting. So Pekudesh Mishari Mestam Chalev. So Mestam Chalev Ikre Tuv Lo Ikre. So the Gemara says, yeah, Divrei Torah is Mestam Chalev, but it's not called Tov. Torah is not called Tov. Tosfos is bothered by this point because what do you mean the Torah is not called Tov? course, the Torah is called Tov. Ki lekach Tov nasati lachem. Okay, so see, Tosus struggles with that point of the Gemara. The Ema Bikurim, Dirchsiva Samachta Bechol HaTov. Well, the Gemara says, well, maybe it's a reference to Bikurim. So Tov Ikre, Tov Levav Lo Ikre. You know, because Bikurim is a reference to Tov, but it's not Tov Levav. Amar Av Masna Minan Bikurim Shetun Shira. Moving along. Bikurim, when you bring Bikurim, also you need Shira. So Asya Tov Tov Mehacha. So the Gemara says they're going to learn it through Exer Shava of Tov Tov. Iniva Amar Rav Shmuel Ben Nachman and Rav Yochanan Minai Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Shira Ella Al Hayayin. What do you mean? Shira only comes when you bring wine, which takes us back to the point that we made at the beginning of the discussion, that you only sing during the Nesachim because that's when you have wine. So the Pasuk in Shoftim says that without wine you don't really have simcha. And Kavi Yachol, to the best of our understanding, God also needs to be drinking during this requirement of Shira. So when I'm pouring wine on the Mizbech, which Kavi Yachol, to the best of our understanding, is God's consuming of the wine, so that's when you have Shira. So now, where does that exist by Bikurim? So Mishkach Lakit, didn't Rav Yosef, Priyatamevi, Viyatamevi Mashkin, Habayim Anavim, Hevi Anavim, Vidarkami, Nine Tamalomer Tavi. And even in the world of Bikurim, look, you got to bring the fruit. But in the world of grapes, you can actually convert the grapes into wine and bring wine as Bikurim. It's not true by the other fruits. It's not true by the dates. It's not true by the pomegranates. But by the grapes, grapes can be converted into wine. Okay. Back to how do I know we're supposed to sing? We're up to the third source. Chizkiya Amar Mehacha V'Kananehu Sar HaLevi'im Yasir B'Masa Ki Mevin Al Tikre Yasir Ela Yashir. The Pasuk says that he was a master, but we're going to play on the word Yasir, Yasir, and we're going to turn it into Yashir. Number four, Balvati Amar Rav Yochanan Mehacha La'avod Avodas Avoda Izu Avodas Shetzricha Avoda Havei Omer Zushira. What Avoda requires Avoda? Meaning, which Avoda requires like real work, concentration, just like precision? So, shechting an animal, I guess it does require some precision. But like collecting the blood, like these are basic tasks. What tasks require real dexterity, real precision? Singing. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Mehacha Su Zimrus Nu Sof Kinur Na'im Im Navel. Rabbi Yitzchak just simply quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, right? Sing and bang on the drums, and okay. And the Gemara assumes that that's in conjunction with the avoda. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Mehacha Yisu Kolam Yerona Begaon Hashem Sahalu Mayim. Another pasuk from Yeshayahu, number 7, Vitana Maisa Levahach. We have a braisa, Ulav Nekat, Lo Nasan, Ki Avodas HaKodesh Aleim, Bakatef Yiso. They have an avoda which they carry on their shoulder. Mimashma Shanama Bakatef, and Yodesh Yiso. What does that mean? On their shoulder, they're going to carry. Well, once we say it's on their shoulder, of course they're going to carry. Matam Alam Yisou, Ein Yisu, Ela Lashon Shira. The word carry also means a tune. In English, by the way, we have a very similar expression. We say carry a tune. Okay? And then this brisa goes back to the psukim that we just quoted, both by Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yitzchak. Number 8. Chananya ben Achirava Yoshua Omer Mehacha Moshe Yidaber Va'alokim Ya'anenu Bekol Al Iske Kol. There has to be an element of kol, of voice. Interesting, by the way, that the Gemara earlier brought down a basic machlokus. What's the ikar shir? Is it bekli or bepeh? From this pasuk, it sounds certainly like it's bepeh. We're talking about kol, unless you want to say it's blowing into the instruments. Number 9, Rav Ashi Amar Mehacha Vehikeh Echel Mechatzatrim Ol Misharim Lahashmia Kol Echad. He'll be like one of the singers who is mashmia kol. Emanates a voice. And finally, number 10, Rabbi Yonasan Amar Mehach V'lo Yemusu Gam Heim Gam Atem Ma'atem Ba'avodas Mizbeach Av Heim Ba'avodas Mizbeach. Just like you have an avoda, the Levim also have an avoda. And their avoda is Shira, it's singing. Tanyan Amihach V'lo Yemusu Gam Heim Gam Atem Atem B'Shalahem V'Heim B'Shalahem B'Misa Heim B'Shalahem Einam B'Misa Ela B'Azhara. Now for them, for a non-Kohen to do the avoda, it's Misa. For a non-Levi to do the avoda, It's only a lav. Okay. Amar Abayin Akina Mesharer Shashir B'shal Chavero B'misa Shenemar V'achonin Lefnei Amishkan Kedma Lefnei Ol Moed V'azar Karev Yumatz Maizar Ilem Azar Mamash Haksiv Chadazimna El Lav Zar De Osa Avoda. Okay. To explain this next bit of Gemara that I just ran through, I just plowed through, just a basic idea. We get to Masech Tamid. We're going to see this in greater detail. Levim basically had one of two jobs. If you're a Levi, right, Phil, you're representative today. If you're a Levi in the Beis Hamikdash, you basically are confined to one of two jobs. Either you're a mishorer, you're a singer, or you're a mishoar, you're a gatekeeper. Okay? And I guess, in other words, you go for the audition to see whether or not you could sing. And if you got the voice, so then you're a mishorer. And I don't know if this is how it worked in terms of assigning which job you are, but it's, I would assume it has a lot to do with whether or not you can carry a tune. And if you're not a singer, so you're a gatekeeper, which is also an important job, and you would actually watch the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. When we get to Masechta Tamid, the very beginning, we'll talk about actual shifts of Levium watching the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what the Gemara essentially is saying over here is that the two jobs cannot be confused. Once you're assigned to one job, you can't cross over and do the other job. Rashi says over here that kigon Levi mishari shehi gift lasos. If you have a Levi who's a singer, meaning he's part of the choir, and he closes the gates, or Levi mishoar sha'amashir, or you have a gatekeeper who says, you know what? I'd like to try my hand on singing today. So shaharei halavim hayuchalukim zelam mishor v'zelam mishorer. He says he can't do that. Meaning, once you're assigned a particular position, that's it. You are locked into that position. In fact, Abaye says, Naktina means we have a tradition, right? That mishor shashir b'shel chaver b'misa. That if you cross over, and let's say you're part of the choir, and you decide, you know what, I'd like to do the gates today, misa b'dei shamayim. Meaning it's a serious offense. Shenemar v'achonim lefnei amishkan kem lefnei ol moed v'hazar hakarev yumas. The pasuk says zar. Now don't read the pasuk literally. The pasuk does not mean a real non-levi. My zar ilem zar mamish aksev chadazimna. I love zar da osa avoda. Zarus over here means simply that you're a stranger to this particular avoda. Meaning you're a gatekeeper, you shouldn't be singing. You're a singer, you shouldn't be doing gatekeeping. Okay. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges Mishorer Shashir, Mishorer Shashir, Eino B'misa Ela B'Azhara. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says, no, it's not B'misa, it's only Azhara, it's only Alav. Right? One level lower than Misa B'dei Shamayim. Tanayhi, the Gemara says, this is really a machlokas. Tanayim, Tetanya Meisa B'Rabbi Shir Yoshua Ben Chanayim, Shalach L'Sayeh B'Agafas Elasos, Seitzel Rav Yochanan Ben Gudgada. So there was a Levi, Rav Yoshua Ben Chananya, and he went to help close the gates. Amarlo b'ni chazor l'acharecha. So he says to him, oh my gosh, don't do that. Turn around. Sha'atam min ha-mishorerim, v'lo min ha-mishorerim. You're a singer. You're part of the choir. You're not a gatekeeper. You can't help me. My la b'ha kamifli g'damar savar miso v'hi v'gazor bei rabbanon. U'may savar azara hi v'lo gazor bei. So the Gemara suggests as follows. Look, he was only being misayeya, meaning he wasn't closing the gates. He was just helping somebody else close the gates. This is a concept that we call misayeya, right? You don't really get credit for the positive, for doing it, or for any negative ramifications if you did it. So over here, perhaps, what they're arguing about is the level of offense. Meaning, if it's misa b'dei shamayim, you shouldn't even be a misayeya. If it's only in hazara, so you know what? You're not doing it, so maybe you could be a misayeya. So the Gemara says no. The Kulei Amaz Harihi, the Gemara says no. Maybe both of these positions in this brace will hold maintain that's a lav. Marsav Misayeh Gazer Bei Rabbanan, Marsav Lo Gazer Bei Rabbanan. And maybe it could just simply be where the Chachamim goes there on a Misayeh, on someone who just assists. Okay. By Rabbi Oven. All right. Which Karbanos do we sing for? Okay, so let's start off with the two extreme positions. For a individual Karban, No singing, no nesachim. Meaning, for an individual karban, we understand. There's nothing to talk about. For a communal karban, that is time, that is on the clock, on the calendar, both. Singing and nesachim. Okay? There's a fuzzy middle ground. What about if it's communal, but it's not on the calendar? Okay? What's an example of that? Keitz HaMizbeach. We've talked about this so many times. Keitz HaMizbeach, there used to be a fund in the Beis HaMikdash where you would put money into these funds, and during the slow season in the Beis HaMikdash, right, not a lot of customers, not a lot of people coming in, and they wanted the Mizbeach to have volume, so they would take from the fund, buy animals, and offer karbanos on these. It was not individual, it was not obligatory communal, it was voluntary communal. Okay, so it's somewhere in the middle. So is there singing for these karbanos? The Gemara asks this question. By Rabbi Avin Olos Nadavit Sibor Tuna Shira O Eina Tuna Shira. Olo Seichem Amar Rachmana Achas Ola Chova Achas Ola Nadava. The Torah, when describing the singing, says, simply says Olo Seichem. So it could be any type of Ola. O Dilma Olo Seichem Dekul Yisrael Kamar Rachmana. Or no. Does it have to be the Ola of the Jewish people, meaning something which is obligatory? Tashma V'yom Chizki Ala Alos HaOla Over eight hechel haola hechel shir Hashem vechatzotzos al yidei kli David Melech Yisrael. Okay, the Gemara talks about Chizkiah bringing a karban and singing over this karban. So hi shir ma'avid teileima de olas chova lamaliyim luche. Now he asked, should we sing or should we not sing? Now if this is an obligatory karban, what's he asking? So the Lamaleim Luchi, Alalav, the Olas Nadava. So the Gemara is assuming, okay, I'll tell you why he's asking. Because it was Olas Nadava. It was a voluntary communal offering, right? Like we just discussed. And that's exactly his question. Should we sing or should we not sing? So the Gemara is going to reject it and the Gemara is going to say no. Number one, number of Yosef Laolas, Rosh Chodesh Hava, Vekami Bailu, Mikva, Rosh Chodesh Bezmano, Dilekar Vela. So his first suggestion of the Gemara is no. It's not talking about voluntary, it's obligatory. It's Rosh Chodesh, says Rav Yosef. And he wanted to know, is today really Rosh Chodesh? Meaning it was the 30th day of the month. Today could be Rosh Chodesh, which, by the way, today is Rosh Chodesh. Or tomorrow could be Rosh Chodesh, and he wasn't sure, and that's what he was asking. So Amalei Abayim Mimatzah Samar Tzachiv Aksiv, so Abayit says to Rav Yosef, I can't buy that answer. Because if you read ahead in Divrei Yamim, it says, B'yom Shishar Asar L'Chodesh Rishon, B'yom Chizkiyahu La'alo Asolah. It was the 16th day of the month. So it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. It's just the opposite. It was the middle of the month. So, okay, so, and what was Rav Yosef thinking when he made this suggestion? I'm not sure. And meaning it's a strong question against Rav Yosef. El Amarami Bered Rav Yeba, Keves Haba Ima Ober. So now that we know it's the 16th of the month, so the Gemara now is suggesting, oh, well, okay, fine. I know what the question was. Meaning it was the sheep that comes with the Karban Omer. 16th day of Nisan. Right, what's brought on the 16th day of Nisan? Karban Omer. Oh, okay. Gemara says fine. That's what we're talking about. So then, what's his question? Kamibay, let me cover Rosh Chodesh Bezmano Delikar Vala. Is today really the 16th? Meaning, can we go back 2 weeks? Was Rosh Chodesh set 16 days ago? So the Gemara says it's a funny time to ask that question now on the 16th day of Nisan. Meaning, wasn't yesterday the 15th? didn't we bring the Karban Pesach yesterday? So Maskevla Rav Avi Avalechse Pesach Hechi Avid Matzah Hechi Achil. So why would Chizkiah be asking that question now? Find out. Like yesterday, did we bring the? I can't say Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach was brought 2 days ago, on the 14th day. But okay, fine. And matzah. In other words, we should know by now what day Rosh Chodesh was. Elam Rav Ashi Mida Dehavei Shlichetzibur Demimla Chashadasis Achi Afilutem Olas Chova. So the Gemara says he was asking permission. Do you know before we bench, we say Rabbi Sain of Arech? Okay? Or some version of that, depending on where you're from. But you know what that is? It's essential, right. It's essentially you're asking permission. It's a respectful thing to do. Okay? Before you make Kiddush, Savimran Rabbanan Rabbi Sai. You're asking for permission. Chizkiah wasn't really asking a question, meaning for like information. He was asking a question like a shliach tzibur, like should I go up? You know, there's also true about the shliach tzibur. Shliach tzibur before he goes up, so he should ask. So who's he going to ask? So we do the work for him. We ask him. The gabbai is the one who represents the tzibor, and he asks him, and that's essentially the same as him asking permission, should I go up? Tashma. Rav Yossi omer megaglin zchus liyom zaka v'chova liyom chayev. Okay? We're back to the question of, do we sing when bringing non-obligatory karbanos? So the Gemara says, well, why don't we use this as our guide? It is a b'raisa. We've seen this in Tanis. We saw this also in Avodah Zarah, right? Thereabouts. And that is the following. Good things happen on good days. Bad things happen on bad days. Amru kishacharav, I know that sounded profound, but kishacharav ha'bayis b'rishon oso hayom, when the first base of Mikdash was destroyed, the day was Tisha B'Av. Umotzei Shabbos haya was the day after Shabbos, meaning a Sunday. Umotzei Shviyas haya, it was the year after Shemitah. Umishmarto shel Yehoyariv haisa, it was the mishmar of Yehoyariv. Kohanim were broken up into 24 families, 24 mishmaros. So the unfortunate family of Kohanim that were serving that day was the family of Yehoyariv. V'hayu Kohanim v'levim omdim al duchnam v'omrim shira, and the Kohanim and Levim were on the duchen, and they were singing shira. Okay. Umashir amru. Now, what were they saying? Vayeshav alehem es onam uvera asam yatzmi sein. Now, already this should elicit question marks on behalf of the whole of our group over here. Meaning, what's that? Obviously, that's a shir. For which day of the week? Wednesday. And we just learned a moment ago that the Chorban took place on Sunday. Okay. That should invoke a question. We'll get to that question in just a second. We'll always speak, Olam Yatzmi Sem Hashem Elokeinu. And then they are about to finish Yatzmi Sem Hashem Elokeinu, Asher Bawa Oyvim V'Kivshum V'Chein B'Shniya. Okay, and then as they were in the middle of the Pasuk, along comes the enemies. This is the first temple, which means the enemies are Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, and they destroy the first temple. Now, all this happened for the second temple as well. V'chein b'shnia. Meaning, it was Tisha B'Av, Sunday, year after Shemitah, Yehoyariv.
Same family?
Same mishmar, yes. Okay, and so forth and so on, and singing the same paragraph of Tehillim. Now, Hashira Maya Avedite. Now they're singing. Over what carbon? And don't tell me carbon tamid. Because that was already, that stopped on the 17th day of Tammuz. So the Gemara says, Ile medolos chova, mi havia b'yudzayim b'tammuz batal hatamid, el alav dolos nadava. So, right, on the 17th day of Tammuz, the Tammuz already stopped. Of the tragedies that took place on the 17th day of Tammuz, one of those tragedies was the stopping of the Tammuz. So now, 3 weeks later, we're on Tisha B'Av, and they're singing over what carbon? So the Gemara now is suggesting, El Avda Olas Nadava. It must be that they were bringing some sort of Olas Nadava. Okay, the Tisbro, the Gemara says, I'm not sure if that makes a whole lot of sense. Maisha Dolos Chova Dolo Have, or Maisha Dolos Nadava De Have. Well, if they didn't have an Olas Chova, they didn't have an Olas Nadava. So Halakasha ben Bakari cry ba Amahu di Israelu. The Gemara says that question doesn't kill me. Could be that they had an animal just hanging around over there, and they found it, and they couldn't bring the carbon tamid, but they brought a random olas nadava. Amar Rav Avitamer Rav Ashi v'Tisbar Shira deYuma. Now the Gemara says again, does any of this make any sense? How are they singing Wednesday's shir on Sunday? So Shira deYuma LaHashem Aretz Malo Aviyeshev Alamaso Number B'Shir Dar Ba B'Shabbos Hu. So the Gemara says, how does that make any sense? Ella Ailia Ba'Amahu Danafalohu Bepumaihu. It was there's no good English translation. Ailia. It was a dirge, meaning they were singing not because it was singing in accompaniment with a carbon. There was no carbon. It was a dirge. Now it's interesting. They're using a perek of Tehillim, the one that we sing weekly on Wednesday, as a dirge. But if you think of the words of that perek in Tehillim, you understand. Vayashav alem esonam uveraasam yatzmi same. Right? Cut them down over the wicked that they're doing. Okay, it was a dirge. V'ha'om omdim al duchnan ketami, k'dere shlakish d'amar omer shalom ala karban, d'amar omer shalom ala karban. So the Gemara says, in other words, it's possible to sing even though there's no karban. So the Gemara suggests, well, if that's true, so if you could sing and you don't need a karban to sing, so then what was our question to start off the whole discussion? Can you sing over a karban nedava? So the Gemara is asking, so why not? So the Gemara says, no, nafik mine churba. The Gemara says, no. Because if you start singing in a time when you don't need to sing, so then you're going to walk away with wrong halacha. Meaning people are going to think to themselves, oh my gosh, olas nedava, we need to sing. And if we don't sing, you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, I'd rather not sing at a time when you don't have to. My havi Allah. Okay, long discussion that we're having right now in terms of, is there shira for an olas nedava? And the Gemara now, Hedy, this is your favorite time of the Gemara. My havi Allah, can we get to a bottom line? Meaning, should there or should there not be singing? So Tashma didni Rav Mari Bere Rav Kahana Alosem Val Zivche Shamechem Ma'ola Kodesh Kadashim Af Shlamim Kodesh Kadashim. In order for there to be song, it has to be over your kabanos that are olos and shlamim. Now shlamim over here does not mean the shlamim that you and I bring, because those are voluntary offerings, as I mentioned at the beginning of the discussion. Not even up for a debate. For sure, they don't have song. So the Gemara now is saying there must be shlamim of that are obligatory. One time a year where shlamim are obligatory. And that is Shavuos. So the Gemara says, Ma shlamim kavu lahem zman, av ola kavu lahem zman. So just like shlamim has kviyas zman, so too the ola are kavu zman. Meaning if it's voluntary ola offerings that are not calendar based, there is no song, there's no shira. Okay. We are now on the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Nesachim habayim bifnei atzman teunin shira o ein teunin shira. How about this? We've learned that you sing in conjunction with a karban. You sing in conjunction with obligatory karban. You sing specifically when you bring the nesachim. We also learned earlier this morning that nesachim don't have to be brought on the same day as the karban. So let's say there is a differential between the karban and its nesachim. Do I sing with those nesachim? So the Gemara says, huh? I didn't bring the nesachim the same day as the karban. No, because I only sing with nesachim. Yeah, so the right. So oh, ain't to unishir. Kevan de amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini Amar Rav Yonasan. Minayin shein omrim shira el ala yayin. Amrinan odilma ala chila v'shtia amrinan ashtia l'chude lo amrinan. So the Gemara says, well, that's exactly our question, meaning, does it have to be song is if you need food and drink? Again, kaviyachol, meaning the food being the karban being placed on the mizbeach and being burnt on the mizbeach, and the nesachim being poured on the mizbeach, or can song even come just with drink, not food? Tashma Rav Yosef Amar Megaglin Schus Liyom Zakai Hayshira Ma'avidatei. So we're going to go back to the brisa and we're going to ask the same question with another possible suggestion. What song are they singing on Tisha B'Av of the destruction of the first temple? Ilema dolos chova mihava b'shivasar b'tamos batal atamid. So you know it can't be the carbon tamid because for 3 weeks already they didn't have the carbon tamid. Ve'ela dolos nedava. So the Gemara now suggests, well, maybe it's dolos nedava. V'hat tanira of Mari b'rei d'rav kahana dolos tricha ela dolos tricha. So the Gemara says, ela lav d'nesachim. It must be that they had nesachim. And they were singing over Nesachim. Amrav, Vitemer, Avash, Vitizbra, Shira, Deyumai. So the Gemara says again, that doesn't make any sense because that wasn't the Shir for that day. Lashem Haaretz Maloa, Vayashem Alamas Onam, Vayashira, Da'ar Ba, B'Shabbatu, Ela Aila Ba'amahu, Denafalu, Bepumayu. So the Gemara says it was a eulogy, it was a dirge. Vaha Omdim Alduchnam Katani, Kedere Shlakish, Amr Shlakish, Omer Shira, Shiloh Ala Karban. You can sing even if there's no Karban. Ihachi Ben Nesachim Nami. So the Gemara says, so why don't we just sing? Meaning, if there's no restriction, so just sing, lema nafik minei churba, so the Gemara says, I don't like that because nafik minei churba, it'll just, if you're singing without restriction, even when you don't have to, people will then erroneously conclude, oh, I have to sing because we've always been singing over Nesachim. Okay, let's do a little bit more for this morning. We're a history, meaning I'm not a history teacher, but history in the Gemara. Okay, here's the things that you have to know. We're going to spend the last couple minutes today and the beginning of tomorrow morning talking about the destruction of the first temple. Destruction of the first temple was not, it was a process. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar, when he ascended to become the Babylonian ruler, so the first thing he did is he conquered Nineveh, right? In order to ascertain his power, his world domination. Nineveh at the time was the dominant ruler. Nineveh was run by the Assyrian kingdom. So he conquered that. He took over. Now comes the period of the Babylonians. Only 1 year later did he start with Yerushalayim. But when I say started with Yerushalayim, he basically came in and said, look, I'm not going to destroy you people, but I'm in charge now. And so he set up Jehoiakim as his puppet leader of the Jewish people. Jehoiakim was of the Davidic dynasty, but he was basically under Nebuchadnezzar. And then there was a little bit of revolt, and it was a bit of an involved story. It only was 19 years into Nebuchadnezzar's rule that he actually destroyed the first temple. So it was a saga. It was not Nebuchadnezzar coming in and destroying. It was 19 years after he assumed leadership of the Babylonian Empire did he then destroy the first temple. Gufa Amar Rav Yosi Omer Megaglan Zchus Yom Zakeh Berishona B'Motzei Shvius Mi Mishkachala. So the Gemara says, look, we just learned that the temple was destroyed the year after Shemitah. Now the Gemara says, I don't think the numbers work out for the following reason. V'haksiv. Be'esrim v'chameh shana l'galusin b'rosh hashana, be'esor l'chodesh b'arba asar shana, achar asar, achar asher hukata ha'ir. Yecheskel is talking about a vision. A vision that he sees 15 years after the destruction of the temple, and he says, in the year that I saw a vision was a Yovel year. Okay. And basically now what we're going to do, I guess we'll save this for tomorrow, is we're going to look backwards. In other words, he is now establishing that 15 years after the destruction of the first temple was a Yovel year. So we're going to look backwards now from that point, and we're going to try to figure out, can it possibly be now, working backwards, that the year of the destruction was a year after the Shemitah? And we're going to try to coordinate this also with what the other significant points of the destruction of the first temple, which I outlined just a moment ago. Okay? We're going to do all this tomorrow. So tomorrow we're going to get a good history lesson in terms of when the Beis HaMikdash was first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We're going to do it again for the second Beis HaMikdash as well. And that'll hopefully take us to the Mishnah. We're supposed to finish the parak tomorrow. Doubtful, but for sure we're going to try to get to the Mishnah on Yud Gimel.